Ever thought there should be a book club for movies? We're your new favorite pod. Never doom scroll a streaming service again and end up not finding a single thing to watch.
Every month we'll pick a genre or topic and choose movies that are streaming across platforms to watch and talk about. Also, all movies can be drinking games, right? Join the conversation in the next meeting of the Monthly Movie Club podcast.
Welcome to the latest meeting of the Monthly Movie Club. I'm your host, Jen, here with my co-host, Mario.
Hello.
This month's topic is badass women. We're watching female lead action movies, and this week's movie was Kill Boksoon. It's a 2023 Korean action movie streaming on Netflix.
So I think one thing we should probably start doing that for movies that aren't necessarily as straightforward, right? When we say alien movies, you know what you're searching for. When we said time travel movies, badass women, not sure you're going to get many results going that way. So we did want to share that some of the search terms were like women leading roles, women action movies, female-led action. Those were the things that we were looking at when we were searching through Netflix, Hulu, HBO,
Prime,
all of them. So we do have quite a list that was hard to get through. And this was one of the movies that, as we said, 2023, it just came out. And it was a Korean film, so we got really interested and really wanted to watch this one. Turns out to have been a great pick.
Yeah, it really was. The synopsis for this movie is a single mother who is a renowned hired killer finds it difficult to achieve a balance between her personal and work life. And that comes from Netflix.
Yeah. Towards the end of the film, I think we both came to the conclusion that it was like the female Korean John Wick.
Yes, very much.
Very much a movie where it's like she is super skilled in gunfighting, in hand-to-hand action, in knives, in using a plunger. She is such a well-versed fighter and assassin, which makes her, you know, deadly that way.
The best.
I'm not saying that's a bad comparison. But yeah, I think towards the end, minus someone killing the dog. Very much in that vein of like just constant action, a really good kind of story that goes along with it, and just keeping you entertained the entire time.
Mm-hmm. AKA Joan Wick.
Joan Wick. Yeah. So yeah, this movie has quite a bit of characters in it. Really, the main character is the assassin, Kill Boksoon. Everybody else, I think, would be supporting. They have bits and pieces to the story that get added, but really we're revolving around this assassin, and her name is Kill Boksoon, or because it's Korean, her first name is Boksoon. Gil is her surname. That's her last name. We also have Cha Min-kyu, which is the boss or the director. And I think if you watch the movie by now, the director makes sense in the terminology. Their entire enterprise treats their assassinations as shows, as productions. So him being the director and the assassination being the show and them essentially pretending that they're actors or something like that, it all falls in line.
It's like a big showcase. Don't you think?
A big showcase?
Yeah. So they make it like a grand killing. Like it's, they want it to be known.
A spectacle.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they do. I think there's a lot of kind of hype too, where after the very first killing that it got onto the news, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like all the other assassin crew are hanging out at a noodle bar or whatever, and they're all hyping each other up. They're like, oh, you made it on the news.
Oh,
Rewind. And then very early on, we find out that Baksun has a 15-year-old daughter, so hence the single mother part of the synopsis, Jae Young Gil. So single mother with a 15-year-old daughter. And then another character here is Cha Min Hee, who is the sister of the director. She's also one of the like leaders in the company.
Yes.
And she also has this kind of weird incestuous thing with her brother.
Ew.
She uses the, what's the Korean phrase for brother or cutie or like an affectionate? Opa.
Oh, I did not know that.
She uses the term opa with him. And it sounded familiar. I was like, I think that means brother, but I also don't think it means like brother in that context. I'm not 100% sure. And so I had to look it up just to be like, because it's not super clear that they're brother and sister at the beginning of the movie.
I had no clue until after, even after that scene.
Yeah. I don't think they really address it till towards the end, but she kept calling him like opa, and then she tried kissing him, and then he got all blah, blah, blah. And then I was like, okay, I think that means brother. So I looked it up, and it does mean brother, but it's also used really more. And if I'm getting this completely wrong, sorry, this is the best I could do by searching it, is that opa means brother or older man, like you use that for the older man. And a lot of times it's not necessarily just a term of endearment. It's like a lover's, almost like daddy.
If it's supposed to mean brother, why would it also mean that?
Because it doesn't necessarily, I don't think it necessarily means brother. It means brother, but it also means like older man or older relationship. Just know that's the thing that cued me into, okay, this is a little weird. So let's move on. Han Hee Sung is Soon's love interest. We can call him. She's
more of a stress reliever.
Yes, he's a stress reliever. Baksun is his love interest.
Yes.
She is more like, you're my toy. And he is a up and coming actor in one of the other groups. And I think the last character that we really want to talk about is Kim Young-ji. And she's like the up and coming superstar. She's the new Baksun at MK and Entertainment Enterprises. I don't know. It just says MKENT. So, but she's like the new hotness, and she's super talented, super quick, super stealthy. But yeah, I think that's our main cast of characters. There might be some other, there's another group of assassins. Like I said, at that noodle bar, there's all the other groups, studios, enterprises that you want to include in all the assassinations. But yeah, they're like side characters. They're not that important.
Doesn't that sound really good?
Yeah, we don't have a local noodle bar, like straight up. We used to live on the west side, so we used to have local noodle bars to be able to just like sit up at a counter. Yeah. No, not even hot pot. Like the, on Sawtelle, being able to go to the belly up on the counter, and then they were doing ramen.
Yeah, I miss that.
Yeah, I miss those too. Oh, man. I really wish we did have one out here. Maybe we do. We just haven't looked that well.
Or we just have to buy our own hot pot now.
That's true.
It's time.
It's time. I think everybody should invest in a good hot pot for their house.
All right, I'm looking. Add to cart. That leads us to our opening credits with the sliced happy faces.
Yeah, I just wrote down that they were really cute. Like, I thought it was a cute little intro when, like, everything was coming up, the credits were coming up, and then these little sliced happy faces, like, are on screen. I was like, yeah, that's just fun. Little touch of something. This from the very top. And technically, if you're following along the way we intended people to follow along as a book club, you probably would have seen this already. But if you're hearing this before you watched it, this has hit one of my pet peeves. I think we talked about this in one of our previous episodes somewhere, but having a movie being dubbed and the subtitles not match. We watch a lot of movies where everything is subtitled. We just leave the subtitles on, right? We have young kids. A lot of times we watch movies very low and we keep the subtitles on. We're reading everything. Yet, we started watching this thinking it was going to be in Korean and we were going to be reading the subtitles. And then it just happened to be dubbed. The English language actually comes in as the priority. And then my brain and my ears, nothing functioned.
It was too much.
Everything crashed. My brain fried because hearing the English dub and reading the subtitles, completely different, not even close, right? Because I think I have a coworker who used to do translations, like script translations for subtitles for shows and movies in Japanese. And she's going off, sometimes she's just going off a script that was given to her, or sometimes she gets a screener of the show. So she actually got to do this, I think, for Game of Thrones. And so she was ahead on stuff. But she's also having a hard time. Okay, how am I supposed to translate this, right? Because there's context, and things don't always translate one-to-one from one language to another. So she has to judge it. So they do that, right? And then someone else comes in and says, this is what the script was, but for an American audience, we're going to change this and change that. And then they voice dub it. Oh, my brain just didn't work.
I think I was fine.
Oh, geez, come on. Okay, back to the actual movie. They fake us out so much, and I loved it. I got mad every time it happened, but I was like, you got me again. You got me again.
They were good fake outs.
They were really good fake outs, and it just starts off with a great one at the beginning. It's not unheard of to go into a movie thinking that the main character is the main character that's going to be there, and then they kill off the character. Right? Horror movies do this a lot. I was just watching something where it was like, oh, they killed off their main character. Scream kills off Drew Barrymore right away.
Or Game of Thrones.
Or Game of Thrones. And what was it, the first episode or something like that? Rewind. You can do all of this marketing or kind of like it, just pulling the rug out from under people. Just being like, haha, you thought this was going to go one way. We're going a different way. It's not unheard of. But then we get this first fight scene, super badass, crazy shots like from behind a train and all of that stuff. And then you get to the point where they're like, she's fighting him. And then she did. Like she fucked up. And then you're like, oh, dang, that sucks. And then you realize it was just like her running
the different scenarios.
Yeah, her running the scenarios or the permutations of what can happen
with her options
and assessing her opponent and then going from there. I do like that she ended it with like, you know, she wanted to like start at the beginning with like hand-to-hand combat, knife fight, whatever. And then at the end, she just shoots him. Very Indiana Jones.
She has things to do.
She had to go grocery shopping after. But yeah, I think right off the bat, you can tell that this movie's been choreographed really well and that it was going to be a really fun movie.
What is it called? Cinematography? Or what is it when they, like the placement of the camera and stuff like that?
Yeah, that's the cinematography.
Yeah, I thought that was brilliant. I loved it.
It's just everything was framed really well.
It was fun and creative.
I mean, we were just watching another Netflix, but a series, The Brother's Son. Mm-hmm. And we liked the whole thing, except for the one scene at the golf at the golf range where they just went crazy with the drone. And you just ruined.
Is that what that was? It was a drone. You're right. Yeah, I thought it was literally someone running around with an iPhone. That makes more sense that it was a drone. But yeah, that golf scene in The Brother's Son, it was too much. Yeah, I thought that that was just, it was too much. It made me a little dizzy almost too.
Yeah. But a lot of what was being shot here, I think, was set up really nicely. And then you get a lot of really cool shots from like unexpected angles or from unexpected mm-hmm. like corners of the room. Like mm-hmm. you're not just always following the fight so clearly. Mm-hmm. And especially with a lot of hand-to-hand combat stuff, like one, you can hide some of the choreography, but two, you can also make it seem like you don't know what's coming next. Mm-hmm. You don't know like how the next blow is going to land. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and I think overall, the idea of like all of these assassins being like, hey, let's unionize. And then what's our motto? And we got three rules. If you don't follow those three rules, like everyone else is, you're a scab, you're crossing the line. Or basically, that's what it is. It's like, if you don't follow three rules, you're not a union actor.
This is like, what is it? Like, if you don't have these rules, you can't function type of businesses.
If you don't have those rules, it's just chaos, right?
Right.
So you set up these rules that everyone abides by, and then everyone gets a piece of the pie. But yeah, so the rules are, don't kill minors. Don't take jobs from other agencies. You're contracted to one agency, so you get your jobs from that agency. Don't go freelancing. This is a very much, you sign a non-compete clause. And number three, you always finish the kill. Like, you're not allowed to take a job and just be like, no, or they convinced me they should live.
So you have to finish the kill.
And of course, a lot of these things are going to come up, right? How do you create tension and chaos in a film? You break all the rules that they establish.
There you go. The entire movie, or excuse me, the entire beginning of this movie, I thought everyone was calling her Kim Bok-soon. And it made sense to me, because...
So, you're saying the entire beginning of the movie. I literally went the entire movie thinking her nickname was Kill Bok-soon as the assassin. Her name is Kill with a K. And the way they put it on the movie poster and the way the movie is written, the title, Kill Bok-soon is like her assassin name. And then it wasn't until somewhere towards the end of the movie where I finally realized, wait, no. They're saying Gil Bok-soon. Wait, what are they saying? I was drunk by this point because I was playing the drinking game, so.
You were telling me to drink it. I'm like, why? I went with it.
Yeah. So honestly, I feel silly going the entire movie not realizing, but I also don't give her the same last name as what you call the movie.
It's too close. Gil with the G and Kill is so close. Why would, if you had to make up any other name, make it a different name? Doesn't make any sense.
So that makes me wonder, and I didn't look this up, so I don't know, but it makes me wonder if this movie in Korean is actually called Kill Bok-soon.
Oh, interesting.
Or, yeah, if the movie is actually called that, mm-hmm. right? We talked about how movies in different markets get named something differently. And then some American executive went, sounds like they're saying Kill. That's a Ghoul Assassin name. Make that the movie.
Yeah, it could have been.
Or if it actually is called Kill Bok-soon and it was supposed to be, it was intentional. Like it sounds similar, so that's what they were doing.
Mm-hmm. Should have been called John Wick in Korea. The mother and daughter relationship in this movie is so sad to me. I feel like her daughter really needs her and she's just missing it.
Yeah, her daughter is in high school, essentially. Her daughter is 15. She's presumably going through high school and stuff, and she's pretty solidly gay. Like, she knows she is, and that, she knows it's also not going to be accepted by a majority of people. It's not illegal to be gay in South Korea, but it's also not like frowned upon. It's one of those, just don't talk about it, right? Mm-hmm. And that's the sad part, because that's one reason she's rebelling, but at the point she needs her mother the most, right? When her life, in her teenage life, starts turning upside down, she needs her mom. But her mom's also an assassin that's about to, like, is being hunted down. So he has to somewhat try to be caring, but also be like, I got my own shit to figure out.
I didn't feel like that at all. It almost felt like it didn't matter what job she had. What she felt was what she felt, and she didn't accept it.
Yeah. Yeah, she very much was in a way where it was like, she didn't want to admit it if she knew already. A lot of references when she's talking about, oh, maybe are you dating or anything? Like, she's trying to get to know her daughter a little bit, but she's constantly insinuating like, oh, that's how you meet boys, or that's how. So it's, if she knew and she was like steering her towards, no, you're not, and here you go, it's even worse, right? Mm-hmm. But yeah, that relationship, like, it's a very strained one, right?
It just seemed like there was so many missed opportunities for her to connect with her daughter. It was just really sad.
Yeah. But onto a really cool thing that I thought. Rewind. But onto a cool thing that I thought was really fun was Baek-soon goes back to the agency, presumably to not renew her contract, just tell them, hey, I'm done. And then she gets pulled in by Min-hee, right, the sister, and says, hey, we're doing this sparring session with the new recruits, come check it out. And she really doesn't want to, but she gets pressured into it. And so Baek-soon goes, and again, emphasizing the idea that this is a show. There's basically a set of, like, a movie set or a set of a bathroom where they're having this, like, sparring fight or whatever. But then he calls out Young-ji, who's that, she's the new hotness, the new superstar. And she looks up to Baek-soon.
Definitely.
But she's all like, why don't you guys spar together? And Baek-soon's, no, maybe next time, whatever. And then she finally does. And that entire sequence starts where they're just like evenly matched, although Baek-soon always has the slight upper hand. But the entire thing has like this cool flamenco music. It's just like giving you that high energy and that, ooh, this is cool. Maybe a little sexy, a little fighting and blah, blah, blah. So yeah, that was really fun.
It was a good scene. It shows you how far she's come and like the new face of MK. And clearly she's still the best. Like, no one can top her.
Yeah. Yeah. He's Joan Wick. But I think this shows how good she is, or how good Young-ji is, and then that's how she gets to, I don't remember correctly, that's how she gets to join Baek-soon on that final mission that she has. Basically, she said, I'm going to do this last mission, and then I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
But then she's given a mission where she has to essentially go kill a kid, breaking the first rule. But the director's like, no, you have to. Oh, money. And then she decides not to do it, so she didn't complete the show. Another rule broken. And then, what are you going to do as the new recruit, the new trainee? Are you going to rat out the person that can easily kill you right away?
Who's also your idol, by the way.
Yeah. And she pulls the passive-aggressive mom of, like, you just tell the truth.
Ooh, gave me shivers there.
which totally means keep this shit to yourself. But all of that, we get what's happening, and then we get to the next kind of big fight scene, which is the fight scene at the noodle bar, right? Like, I, in my heart, in my movie watching soul, I was like, nah, they set this up as like the ragtag group. They're going to stick together.
They're not going to double cross her.
Oh, yeah, they double cross her.
No one's really friends in this world, that's why.
Yeah, no.
In this business, no one's friends.
Yeah. They all basically, and this is where the John Wick comparison comes down to. Basically, there's now a price on her head. Anybody take it? Breaking rule number 2.
Yeah.
Don't take jobs from other agencies. Mm-hmm. All of them don't work for MK.
Mm-hmm.
They want to, mm-hmm. but they don't. By taking the bounty on her head from MK, they're all crossing the line, right?
Mm-hmm. There's a good reward for it. It's to get a job at MK. That's why. But I love this scene because not only is it really good fighting, but some of it's very comical to me. Like with the noodle bar owner or cook.
With his hand.
The really big guy. Like, it's just, there's a lot of parts of it that's just really funny.
Young Ji is essentially, she was fired. She was canned from working.
Right, because they didn't kill that kid.
It fell on her. You know, like, blame the young one. You can't really fire Buk-soons. So she got fired. She doesn't have anything to do now. So now as soon as all the other guys turn on Buk-soon and are about to attack her and everything, she looks at her. She almost has the eyes of, like, if I do this, I can get my job back. But women stick together. And she helps her and she kicks ass too. Which is great. Yes, there was, again, all of these fights, super well choreographed, super entertaining. The camera work around all of them, really fun. Rewind. I love movies where things are a little bit more real, where it's, we're not just having a gunfight. We're doing hand-to-hand. And then I'm grabbing stuff. I will grab a cup and throw it at you. Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of Jackie Chan style, right?
Like, oh, yeah.
Like playing around with your environment.
I like that reference, especially since our Jackie January.
Yeah. How we kicked off this whole thing.
Yeah. In 2020. Is it 2020?
2020. I think so.
Or 2021.
Whenever we did it. First, the Instagram version of this was Jackie January. But what makes it all sad is like, you know, Buk-soon thought things were gonna go well, and she's like, "I'll take care of you. You're gonna get your job back. I'm gonna talk to people." And whoosh.
Oh,
yeah.
Poor Young Chi.
Oh, and then my last note on that bar fight was the last person standing was her boy toy, Hee-sung. He was the last person standing, the last one she was fighting. And when she stabbed him and he, she stabbed him nowhere critical. It wasn't in a place where he would have
killed right there.
Yeah, killed over right there.
I believe it was like his shoulder.
Unless this guy had internal bleeding and he was just going to kill over anyways if she didn't do anything. Out of everything that's happening in this movie, it's super well choreographed, super well thought out. You kill this guy by stabbing him in the shoulder or something, and then he goes, meh. Come on.
That part was comical.
And then go through all of this, and then we get to the big boss fight. I love, since the entire movie, we kept getting fake outs. I love how they did all the permutations, all the ways that she could try to defeat him. He's the guy that trained her. So he's the master. She's the apprentice, right? Like
the grasshopper.
Oh, God. Yes. She is. So she's scared, right? And then every single permutation that she has, she loses. So it's but basically she loses in every single one except the last one, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think the visual of them superimposing all the variations of it mm-hmm. was really cool, because then like at a certain point, this giant cavernous like penthouse office is just full of pairs of them fighting everywhere.
Mm-hmm. It was like a compilation.
It was almost like that scene in The Matrix where like,
yes,
all the Neos show up.
Same thing.
Yeah. Except cooler and not as weird plasticky CGI.
It's a different time.
Oh, it wasn't the Neos. It was all the Agent Smiths. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Still.
On
same
the roof,
issue.
Right?
No, in the alleyway.
Oh, okay.
Overall, great movie. But we like to have fun with our rating scales. Would you like to introduce what our rating scale is for this month?
Yes. Our rating scale is 1 to 5 boss ladies.
Badass boss ladies.
Yes. So what would you rate this?
This is definitely a good 5 boss ladies. She's a level 5 boss lady. Her hand-to-hand skills, her gun skills, she's such a well-rounded fighter, super smart on how she does things, that you don't feel that she's just using the gun from afar to defeat what she's going around. They're not making her the assassin with flaws. She has her moral code, and that's what is the driver to them putting the hit on her and whatnot. But it wasn't that she was flawed in any way. Like, that wasn't a flaw. She was, one, following the rules and following her code.
Mm-hmm.
She's not going to kill a kid. Even though this kid was an older kid, I think the kid might have been in college.
I think so. Yeah.
But still.
He seemed like a college-age kid.
But still, it was a kid to her. And so it's, to me, her, Baksun didn't have any flaw, right? She didn't have they didn't take the easy way out by saying like, oh, because she slept with the wrong person, like she got in trouble, or because she forgot to do this, she got it. No, it was like, no, she followed her moral code, and it's just something else externally is what's causing this, which is the boss having to go after her because she didn't finish the contract, and that's one of his rules. But yeah, the choreography, the hand-to-hand combat, everything was done really well. Yeah, she level 5 boss lady.
I would like to agree. I think you're right. She is very knowledgeable in the different ways of combat or different styles, whether it's guns, fist fight, knives, swords, whatever. And I like that she can think ahead. She's like actively conscious about the different outcomes, mm-hmm. which makes her so good. I kind of wish, though, that her life at home, she was just as much knowledgeable at home. But of course, this is more of a badass woman kicking ass type of person or type of movie. So I would give her a 5 as well. Thanks for holding that in.
Rewind. So now we're at the cool trivia section from IMDb. I did look. It is a fairly new movie, so there wasn't too much on there. Nothing that I really found. Ooh, I think one of them said something about a Rubik's Cube. The sound of the Rubik's Cube becoming sounds of like a gun cocking. But I'm like, yeah, that's a dumb one. Although, looking at IMDb, I think it was really cool to see that all the actors that did the English dubbing were also Asian. They not 100% if they were Korean, but the fact that they went with, yeah, voice acting or just actors in general, right? Mm-hmm. The fact that didn't just get.
You don't want it to sound fully American with their English, but.
It's not like the English actors had any accents either, but I think it's just recently with all the controversy that was coming along with all the award shows, basically, there were like no minority representation. There were great movies, mm-hmm. yet there was no recognition for it. All of that. And then even in a show that we liked, it was like Central Park, the animated series on Apple TV. Mm-hmm. The family is a mixed race family. Mm-hmm. It's little black girl, little black boy. The boy is Titus Burgess, which is hilarious and great. And the little girl was voiced by Kristen Bell. But then we get to all of this. It's a little black girl. Like, why do you have a white woman doing the voice? Mm-hmm. You couldn't find a black actress mm-hmm. to do the voice? I think it just, to me, I liked the fact that when I looked at this, it was... And I'm sure that the dubbing came from Netflix, or because it was one of these things where, like, you know, as we've been learning, Netflix sometimes just buys the movie. Mm. And sometimes they do actually have a production stake in a movie. It may be a foreign film, but they have a production stake because they are the ones that are going to carry it, right? Either way, they invested money in it. And I'm pretty sure that they were the ones that were like, okay, we're going to dub this movie in English because it's going to be a thing for us. And then the fact that it got cast the right way, I thought was really cool. So it's really good to find that out on IMDb.
Nice.
IMDb sponsor the pod.
Rewind.
And now drinkies.
Drinkies. Every movie can be turned into a drinking game, at least for us. We have some base rules for all movies. When someone says the title of the movie, and when a character throws their gun after having used all of their bullets, and last, our Wilhelm scream. It is the scream
you would hear in countless movies, particularly a lot in Star Wars. People like finding it as almost an Easter egg. Of like, found the scream.
This is the standard to any movie. Doesn't matter if it's Joan Wick or if it's 101 Dalmatians.
Nice. Good changing on the fly. Yeah, this movie's perfect for rule number two of when a character throws a gun. There was a scene in Russia with the director. Big old fight scene. He's shooting it up.
One guy outnumbered.
One guy against like 15 or 20 or something like that. And we were both on the edge of our seats just thinking, oh, this is good. Don't hit a guy with glasses. That. But then also, oh my God, he's running out of bullets. Is he going to throw it?
I was so sure he was going to throw that gun and he didn't throw it. I was so upset. So what a missed opportunity.
If you have a thing for your gun, cool. Grab someone else's gun and throw it. Like, I want a drink. The drinkies rating for the movie can go both ways. Two ways. You can be sober or you can be hammered. And the reason I say this, like I said at the beginning, I thought they kept saying kill Bok-soon in reference to her the entire time. Hence, I was drinking a bit. Wasn't until the end of the movie where we both had to like pause it, turn on the subtitles, and then I was like, no, but the subtitles, they would change it. And then we kept rewinding, and then we're like, oh, no, they're saying Gil. And then we looked on IMDb, and her name is Gil. If you go the way I thought it went, you get pretty good buzz onto hammered. If you go the way I think, because the character's name is Gil Bok-soon, he'll be sober. They don't say kill Bok-soon.
They did. They said it one time. One time. one of the other assassins at MK was saying, I don't care if she's called Kill Baksoon. Remember that one scene?
Okay.
So they do say it one time.
Okay. So maybe you drink once.
One drinky.
You know what? Do it my way and you'll have a good time. So. Rewind. Rewind. Badass Women. Amazing movie. I think we had a good pick and can't wait for the next one. Happy streaming, everyone.
Happy streaming.